Next at 6, Governor, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis ends his presidential bid. Why he made the decision just days before the New Hampshire primary.
And we have another chilly night on the way, but temperatures about to take a big swing as we head into next week. We'll talk about when we could see 70s coming up.
And Durham Public School leaders are getting ready for a closed-door meeting about recent overpayment issues and personnel matters. What parents hope to come out of the discussion.
Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Good evening and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. Well, the sun was out today, but it was still a cold one, right? A little warmer than yesterday. There's still a cold night ahead. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione is here now with a closer look. Anthony.
Julian, it was interesting because as we made our way into the morning, of course, it felt very, very cold with those wind chill values in the single digits and teens. The afternoon started to feel just a little bit better with that sunshine. Here's where we currently sit, though. 36 in Raleigh. There is not much of a wind chill factor. That is going to help us out just a little bit tonight. Right at that freezing mark there in Roxborough, and that is exactly what it feels like this evening. If you're headed out the next couple of hours, it's still going to be cold, but for this time of year, not as bad as where we could be. We head to about 10 o'clock tonight. Temperatures feeling like the upper 20s and low 30s. By the time we get into our Monday morning, notice it's going to be better again than what we're seeing this morning. Most of us there in the upper teens to the north, but 27 in Raleigh will feel a whole lot better. 28 in Durham. It's still going to be a cold morning. We still have a fairly chilly day on the way tomorrow before some warmer temperatures this week. We go for teens again up to the north around the triangle there. 18 in Durham, 20 in Raleigh. Look at those temperatures though, Julian. We go to 67 on Wednesday, 70s by the time we get into Thursday. It is going to set up, though, a very unsettled pattern. We'll talk about our next multiple rain chances here coming up in a few minutes.
All right, thanks, Anthony. Let's go to some breaking news right now. Tonight, coming out of Florida, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis announced he is dropping out of the presidential race. He made the announcement in a video posted on social media just hours ago. Now it comes just days before the New Hampshire primary. DeSantis said he started considering his place in the presidential race after coming in second in Iowa. Now, a source familiar with the campaign says DeSantis didn't make the decision to drop out of the race until this afternoon.
If there was anything I could do to produce a favorable outcome, more campaign stops, more interviews, I would do it. But I can't ask our supporters to volunteer their time and donate their resources if we don't have a clear path to victory.
Now, DeSantis also used his announcement to endorse former President Donald Trump for the Republican Party nomination. Trump says he is, quote, very honored to have the DeSantis endorsement. The former president remains ahead of Nikki Haley in three different New Hampshire polls. Haley says, though, she is not giving up.
We've got New Hampshire, we've got South Carolina, we've got Super Tuesday. We're going to keep on going, and we're going to fight, and we're going to win. I'm used to people underestimating me. It's always fun. But there were 14 people in this race, and now there are two.
Haley's campaign says it does not think DeSantis dropping out means much for her. New Hampshire's primary is this Tuesday. The Durham Public School Board education meeting will be a meeting. It will be closed at a special session tomorrow morning about the employee pay issue. That will happen tomorrow. That relates to an accounting mistake that left many employees overpaid. Now they're preparing to see a smaller paycheck. WRAL's Carly Haynes is live in Durham after speaking with a parent about how the overpayment problem has affected DPS families. Carly.
Julian, they feel that when these staff members aren't supported, then their children aren't supported either. This special meeting will be happening behind these doors tomorrow at 8 a.m. Durham Public Schools said an accounting error led them to overpay certain employees like school bus drivers and custodians between the months of July and December of last year. And as a result, some of the affected employees protested by not going to work some days this past week. That meant a shortage of buses for taking kids to school. And Friday morning, the Jordan High PTSA took to Facebook begging for volunteers to help clean the school cafeteria because there were no custodians. A lot of parents are standing behind these staff members and are speaking against these paycheck cuts. It's still unclear how or if the school system intends to get the overpaid money back. The parent I spoke with opposes what she calls these clawbacks of money that staff were previously paid. She says there's already a crisis in retaining qualified school employees.
So, did you understand what I meant here by this question?
Issue, with being able to provide that free and fair education to all of our students. And if we are not supporting our, the most important piece of that, which is our staff, and our teachers, then, we're doing something very wrong.
And the meeting is closed because the school board will be discussing, quote, legal issues and personnel matters. But we should note the school system's chief financial officer is currently suspended because of this overpayment issue. And after this special meeting tomorrow, the school board says they plan to release a statement. Julian.
Carly Haynes reporting live in Durham. Thank you. So many families are wondering about that case. Well, a man, police say, killed a woman along NC Highway 55, has a first court appearance tomorrow on a murder charge. This shooting was breaking news on WRAL last night at 6. 56-year-old Patrick Whitaker Jr. is in jail without bond. He faces a first-degree murder charge in the death of 45-year-old Jennifer Moore. Investigators also charged him with larceny. Police made their arrest at a scene along NC 55 around 2:30 yesterday afternoon. There were several police cars and a command bus as officers investigated late into the night, that is. We have no details on how Moore and Whitaker were connected or if they even knew each other. Also, police have not told us how Moore was killed. We're reaching out to learn more. We're also pushing to find out more information about a shooting in Johnston County. It happened at the Junction nightclub near Benson. This was the scene when the WRAL breaking news tracker arrived at around 2:30 in the morning. You can see multiple Johnston County Sheriff's deputies working the case. We've learned one person was taken to the hospital with serious injuries. So far, no information on a suspect. This is an active investigation. We have yet to learn whether there's been an arrest in connection with a sexual assault report at an NC State sorority house. The university sent out an alert to students shortly before 2 in the morning yesterday. A female student reported that she was sexually assaulted by a male student at the Pi Beta Phi sorority house. Police do not have the suspect in custody. However, they do say they've identified him and he is affiliated with the university. The victim's description is that he's 20 years old and is 6 feet 6 inches tall. We've reached out to the university again today to try to get more additional details. We have not heard back as of yet. Tomorrow, you can share what you think about a 42% proposed rate hike on homeowners insurance. Yes, that's right. And you can weigh in. The Department of Insurance says more than 8,600 people have emailed in comments about the hike request so far. That's more than 8 times the amount of people who commented on the 2020 rate hike proposal. Now, the public comment hearing is tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. in the Albemarle Building on Salisbury Street in Raleigh. You can also join virtually at that same time. Well, the part of Atlantic Avenue that was shut down because of a water main break is finally back open tonight. The break happened yesterday morning at the intersection of Atlantic and Ingham Drive. Crews worked all day and all through the night. You may recall we showed you that last night to fix the issue. Now, part of the road was blocked off even until this morning. We can tell you it reopened around 11 o'clock today. It was a construction accident that broke the main, not water freezing because of cold temperatures. We have a traffic advisory for people in Johnston County this week. Part of I-40 will experience temporary closure starting tomorrow night. Bridge work will require I-40 West at US 70 to close for several hours between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. through Friday. A detour will be in place for drivers at exit 312. This work is part of a project to complete 540. Coming up, a dog owner's worst nightmare happened right in Franklin County.
We took him there on the 21st, and on the 25th, he was dead.
The family's dog's death sparked an investigation that led to an arrest of a kennel owner. How they hope sharing Goober's story will save dogs' lives. Election officials are working against the clock to get voters prepared and to have faith in our election system ahead of the primary. What's in their game plan? All of that coming up next. Welcome back. With the 2024 elections now underway, state officials are racing to educate voters on the new rules they will find at the polls. Voters will now be required to show photo ID, something most North Carolinians have never had to do. The rules for mail-in voting are changing, too, as are other election laws. Politically, it's putting election officials in a tough spot. Republicans have passed new, stricter laws. They say people don't trust in elections anymore and change is needed. Democrats say the new rules will disenfranchise legitimate voters and not stop fraud. The state's top elections director says she believes most people see elections as fair and trustworthy. Otherwise, they wouldn't be voting in record numbers like what happened in 2020.
When you see voters participating, that's an indication to us that they still have confidence in the system. When you don't, it's my firm belief you don't participate. And yet we're seeing voters participate, on par with what we've seen before or greater.
For more details on what state election officials are doing to booster voter confidence and help the 2024 elections run smoothly, go to nccapitalsectionofwrl.com. Tonight we are hearing from the couple behind that was raising attention to an illegal kennel operation in Franklin County. We first reported on this story Friday when the sheriff's office arrested the operator of the kennel, Anne-Marie Green. The Rottweiler, Goober, became part of the family when Jessica Jones and Brandon took him in. The couple left for Costa Rica for a delayed honeymoon. They booked Green Meadow Kennels, operated by Anne-Marie Green, to board their three dogs. Jones says on Christmas Day they were notified something was wrong from the person listed on their emergency contact, not the kennel. And then they were told that Goober had died.
Fear is that he was neglected, that there was something more going on than what was said.
Yeah.
They claim they tried to reach us the day of on multiple occasions or made it seem like they had been trying to reach us.
The couple called the Franklin County Animal Control. The two other dogs were retrieved from the kennel. After learning the condition of the facility, the Department of Agriculture stepped in. Days later, Sheriff Kevin White announced the kennel is shut down and Green was arrested. Now, Sheriff Kevin White says the investigation is ongoing and more charges are expected to be filed. The couple says while it's unclear if the kennel is the reason for Goober's death, they do believe there was neglect. We did try to reach out to Anne-Marie Green by phone for this report. So far, our efforts to contact her have not been successful. We will continue to follow up. Anthony, let's continue to talk about that wind chill out there. It's cold.
It is cold, yeah. Certainly this morning, Julian, we had wind chill values in the single digits, teens out there. Tonight, though, not quite as bad as what we woke up to this morning. Good evening to all of you. Hopefully you've had a great weekend. Let's talk kind of about where we sit right now. 36 is what it feels like there in Raleigh, but you notice that is the actual air temperature. So there's not a huge wind chill factor out there currently. 26 is what it feels like in Rocky Mount, 30 in South Hill. A practical heat wave compared to what we woke up to start our Sunday morning. Let's take you out of here to a live look in Roxborough. The flag, though, very, very still. Winds are nice and calm. That is not going to be a factor for us tonight. It'll still keep temperatures probably right around 26 there at 9 o'clock as we head closer to about 11. We're at 23. Clear skies, though, for us. We head into tomorrow morning, mainly again in the teens to the north, a place like Roxborough at 15, 18 in Durham. We're at 20 in Raleigh, 20 in Goldsboro, and low 20s also south of the Triangle. You still will want to bundle up, but I do think it will be noticeable compared to this morning. Again, we do the comparative forecast here in the winter time. A lot of times I think it will feel better. We're at 45 there into our Monday afternoon is what it'll feel like. We start to get better there on Tuesday at 54. That is going to be heading into a huge warm-up that we have on the way for this week. Temperatures really going to go up there, especially as we head into our Wednesday. We're at 49 on Monday, 55 on Tuesday. We really start climbing there 70s for both Thursday and Friday. The trade-off, though, we could use a little bit, but the trade-off is going to be some rainfall coming in. A very wet stretch of weather here the next 7 days, especially as we get back toward the mountains, even down toward Texas. They're looking at a lot of rainfall. Could be 4 to 5 inches in that part of our state. We're looking at about, let's say, an inch to maybe an inch and a half across most of our viewing area, again, over the next 7 days. Let's get you a snapshot here, though, on Futurecast of what we're looking at. What's going to be happening here is a pretty strong feed of moisture coming just straight up from the Gulf of Mexico. It continues there as we go through the majority of this week. What that will do is keep the sunshine away from us, I think, for a large chunk of this week, from about Tuesday all the way until Saturday of next weekend. I mean, you notice all of these multiple rain chances. That comes with clouds. There's Thursday afternoon. We continue on with scattered showers, maybe a thunderstorm or two. And then finally, by the time we get into next weekend, Saturday, Sunday or so, it starts to calm down just a little bit. But I don't think we will see much sunshine this week. Maybe a few peaks here and there. Aside from tomorrow, we really start to build that cloud cover in there on Tuesday. 49 for us tomorrow, 55 on Tuesday. Temperatures, again, if you don't like the cold weather, really start to get better this week. A lot of rainfall percentages there on this map. So if you're planning here for the next week or so, the best days at least to keep the umbrella, keep the rain gear, send the kiddos with it and stuff, I think would be Thursday, Friday, even into Saturday. Those kind of 3 days looks like some scattered showers are possible. We get into Sunday, even a few more there, Julian, into next weekend. So temperatures getting better, but more unsettled here with the rain coming in this week.
All right. Thanks, Anthony. Hey, Casey.
Hey, Julian. NC State and Duke, they have playing their colliding today at a big game over at Reynolds Coliseum. We'll have those highlights plus.
So we knew it was going to be a fight.
The Carolina ladies won the fight today, and now the Heels are off to the best start in ACC play in 10 years. Number 4 NC State hosting Duke today, and the Wolfpack are getting reinforcements. River Baldwin back after an ankle injury kept her out the past couple of weeks. Let's get you out to Reynolds Coliseum. Now Duke, meanwhile, off to a pretty good start. Top 15 win, of course, against Virginia Tech the other night, but NC State starts fast. Isaiah James, pump fake and baseline jumper is good. Kennedy Brown loves the Duke players with 14 points. The stroke from the 15-footer, silky smooth, but this was the Isaiah James show. A career-high 33 points. She was shooting 50% from the outside. That's her corner right there. You can count it. But Duke still trying to stay in this one, looking for something. Taina Mayer hits one of her two threes on the day. As I mentioned, River Baldwin back in the lineup. So good to see her. She had 6 points, three rebounds, and 17 minutes of play. Wes Moore said she's on a little bit of a minutes restriction. But Mimi Collins coming in with finishing with 16 points and 10 rebounds, double-double. Baseline jumper was smooth for her. Wolfpack beat Blue Devils 72-57 in Reynolds. Luis Fernandez from the court.
Experience. That made the difference for NC State, helping them beat Duke and bounce back after a loss at Miami. Oh, 30-plus points from Isaiah James probably didn't hurt either.
You see the ball go through the net a couple of times, and now that goal looks like a, you know, kiddie swimming pool or something.
It must have been one of those fancy kiddie pools with a slide. It was a career high in points, minutes, field goals made, and field goals attempted for James.
When she's coming off this ball screen, it's like if you watch me, my hands are in the air because I know the ball's going in. So it's like just understanding how important it is for me to set her a great screen and knowing that she's going to make something happen regardless, and we feed off of each other very well.
James was 3 of 23 from the outside in the past 6 games, so her three makes today went a long way.
We had several players struggling shooting from the perimeter, and so for her to hit a couple early, I think, gave her the confidence.
On the Blue Devils bench, head coach Carol Lawson said that experience really made a difference on Sunday. The roller coaster is to be expected.
We're the youngest team in the league in terms of players that play, and so this is what it is, okay? I wish it wasn't like this, but this is what it is. They're learning on the fly how to compete.
The Wolfpack will have back-to-back road games this week. Meanwhile, Duke will host Florida State on Thursday. Luis Fernandez, WRAL Sports, Raleigh.
Well, just up the road in Chapel Hill, a massive top 25 showdown between number 13 Louisville and the number 23 Tar Heels. Deja Kelly has returned to form recently, averaging 26 points a game in her last 3 contests. But it would take more than just the Queen to knock off the Cardinals tonight. Like Kayla McPherson, injured but still a hype woman extraordinaire for Carolina. Now the Tar Heels came out with intensity in this one. India Navarre, physical in the paint, the basket, and the foul. The expiring quarter here. Who else? Deja Kelly. Defender is going to be draped all over her. Game high 23 by DK, and Carolina was up by 9 after 1. Louisville controlled the second quarter. Sydney Taylor showing all of the emotion here after the finish. It was all tied
at the half. Alyssa Usby, the stat stuffer, she is doing a big here. Career high, 7 blocks were huge. Almost had a triple-double again. UNC up 11 after 3. Fourth quarter, Lexi Danarski puts it away, one of her 3 triples. UNC picks up a statement win, 79-68, to take first place in the conference.
This is a game that really comes off emotion. You know, these guys are fighters, meaning the Louisville team is fighters. And so we knew it was going to be a fight, like a rock fight, right? And so we asked ourselves on Tuesday and Wednesday to just contain our emotions and just lock into how we wanted to play.
Going into the game, we knew it was going to be physical. We knew that it was going to be fast-paced. It was going to be intense. So kind of just us staying pretty poised on both ends of the floor. I think that's what kind of kept us going each quarter. I think we matched their physicality.
Duke women's tennis improved to 4-0 on the season yesterday after defeating Illinois 4-2. The Blue Devils fell behind 1-0 after dropping the doubles point but claimed 4 singles wins. Now the victory marked a big one for head coach Jamie Ashworth, who registered his 600th career win. He also became the quickest NCAA Division I head coach to reach 600. Only 747 matches in his 28 seasons with the Blue Devils. So impressive, so big congratulations to him.
Absolutely. Congratulations on the big 600. All right. Thanks, Casey. And thanks for joining us. Have a good evening, and we'll see you a little bit later.